unseen powers or forces. And that is good and evil. You see, you don't see the face of good, so to speak, unless somebody paints an image of Jesus or an image of the cross. That represents good, okay? But you don't see the powers of good, okay? It's God is behind it, all right? And same with the devil. You don't see the physical image of the devil. Yeah, people paint images of him with horns and a tail and a spear or a pitchfork and all those things. But that's not really, but those forces are out there. And they always have been since the beginning of the time. They're unseen, okay? But what's interesting is, even though we don't physically see God or the devil, we see the effects of them, don't we? Absolutely. And I don't have to make a long detailed list. We all are well aware of the effects of the devil and of evil and of sin in this world. It's been around again since the beginning of time, since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. The devil has been around doing his thing, seeking whom he may devour, as the scripture says. But you know, at the same time, God and his unseen power and his forces have also been around since the beginning of time. And we see the effects of that as well. In fact, that's why we're here today. And we were singing these songs rejoicing of what God has done for us. And then we have a personal Savior called Jesus Christ that's saved us from our sins. A song we just got through singing a little bit ago, that he gives us the peace abiding in our hearts. That it's like, how do you... Do you see the peace in my heart? No, you don't. Can I see the peace in your heart? No. But yet, it's a power. It's an unseen. It comes from God, all right? But the key this morning is, what I want to get a hold of is how these powers and forces are used. How they're utilized, okay? Just like I plugged in this radio. And it's effective and useful in its own way. And we have other, we all have phones and iPads or computers, you name it, different devices and all kinds of physical things. But, you know, there's also spiritual forces in those things as well, and the radio, and the list goes on of all these other devices that, yes, there's the physical unseen forces that are being utilized, but there's also the spiritual unseen forces being utilized, okay? But what I want to talk about this morning, and I want to focus just a little bit, emphasize more about God's good unseen forces and powers. So let's just talk specifically about, say, God's love. God's love has always been around, right? It's a very powerful force. You don't see it, just like you don't see physically the love between my wife and I. But you can see the effects of it, I hope, all right? You see the effects of it, and whether it's with your children or your grandparents or whatever it is, you see the effects of love, all right? And so it is with God. You see the effects of God's love in our hearts by the things that we say and the things that we do, all right? Or the things we don't do or the things we don't say, whatever it is. That we see the effect of God's power and his love in our hearts. And speaking of just God's power, people that have been delivered from whatever type of addictions or terrible sins or whatever, I've heard of stories where hardened criminals, maybe on death row, that they, maybe at the last, God pays them a visit, maybe personally, or someone comes and visits them, and they get saved. And it's like, and they're transformed. You can tell they're different. And before they die, they have a testimony that they're saved. Folks, that's the power of God. That's the love of God. You don't see it physically, but folks, it happened. And you see and witness and feel the effects of it, all right? And that's powerful. And let's go one little further. Say, specifically, forgiveness. You don't see forgiveness. It's not something physical, but folks, it's a very powerful force, isn't it? When you've been forgiven of something, when someone has showed you mercy and you feel that, folks, that's powerful. And when God gave his mercy and he sent his only begotten son, that we might be saved, and God forgave us of our sins, we feel that, all right? And we see the effects of that. That's why America, the United States of America, for the most part, for a couple of centuries here, has been known as a Christian nation. Albeit, there's some a lot of adverse ideas and things going on that we're sad about. But yet, I'm thankful that we still maintain some Christian values. And I'm grateful for that. But again, that's the effect of God's love, His power, His forgiveness in people's hearts, all right? So then we see the effects of that. People are generous, all right? And they extend mercy themselves, and they extend forgiveness themselves, and we revel in that, and when that's wonderful, all right? So, again, God has had all these things available for centuries. But do we tap into it? You see what I'm saying? There's something there that, and you could go on the other side about evil. It's been around as well. How many people tap into that? I think we know the answer to that. And we'll come back to some of that later. But I want to talk about a story in the scriptures. And this is Apostle Paul. It's actually not a story per se. It's just some scriptures he wrote in 2 Corinthians. This is Apostle Paul talking about the challenges that he faced while in the ministry. And this was just his personal experience. I mean, you could honestly put your own self in his shoes, so to speak. Because quite frankly, we've all experienced challenges at being a Christian, being a child of God. We've all experienced challenges. And he mentions several things here in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. I want to read just a couple of them. We're not going to focus on these, but I just want to throw them out. Throw them out for consideration here. 2 Corinthians 4, we'll start with verses 8 and 9. Just read a couple of verses here. We are troubled on every side and yet not distressed. We are perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. So what he's saying here is, in his time of being a minister of the gospel, he experienced a lot of these things and more. There's other scriptures, passages where he goes into greater detail about being shipwrecked and beaten and so on and so forth. But this is just in general. Some of the things he experienced would be enough for most people, if you understand what I'm saying here, just on the physical side, to turn them away from their belief and whatever they're believing in. Believing in something unseen, most people, I hope you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not trying to belittle Christianity as a whole, but I'm just saying Apostle Paul went through a lot. And I'll just say, Lord, help me. I don't know if I could hold up under everything. It'd be the grace of God that would enable me to do that. But he went through so much, persecuted in so many different ways, not just verbally, but physically, beaten, thrown in prison. Didn't have much to eat. I mean, was cold. I mean, and was forgotten. I mean, all these things that he experienced for the gospel's sake. And yet he didn't give up. He had a hold of something that was unseen. Something else. There was an evil powers at play trying to discourage him. They were unseen. They maybe came in the form of the prison guards or the kings in power or whatever it was. But yet God also had some unseen powers there that he was able to tap into. Okay. And that's what enabled him to endure these things. But I want to read on some more of what he said here. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. And that's what I emphasized a little bit ago. He didn't give up. He didn't faint at these great challenges and discouraging moments and say, you know what, it's just not worth it. You know, I'm just like, whatever, I'm going to quit writing these letters and I'm going to quit praying. I'm going to quit singing and doing all these things. It's like, no. No, he said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So he's drawing an analogy here. On the physical side, yes, I'm faced with some extreme challenges here, some physical persecution, being beaten and stoned and thrown in prison, being very uncomfortable. And he didn't enjoy that. But yet he says the inward man is renewed day by day, okay? So, in other words, there's another power and influence from God that's unseen, which is renewing him every day. The guards can't see it, but they can see the effects of it because what does he do? He starts quoting scriptures to the prisoner, to the guards. He starts singing to them. He starts praying for them. He's witnessing to them. And they're saying, wow, there's something weird about this guy, but yet he's okay. Like, he's not spitting on me. He's not railing on me. He's not trying to beat me up. He's just content and peaceful and talking to me like a regular, normal human being. Like, how does he do that? It's the power of God. It's the love of God. It's the unseen realm coming from God that's enabling him to do that, okay? So let's read on here. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, what Apostle Paul was trying to tell the Corinthians here is there's something much more serious than just what you feel in your body, all right, and what you see with your eyes. He said there's another realm. There's an eternal realm that we're living for, and it takes faith, and we're going to touch on some of the scriptures here in a little bit. Yes, it takes faith to believe it, but just like it took faith to plug in, to like, well, there's got to be electricity there because, I mean, somebody's used it before, and I plug it in, sure enough, it worked. But you know, the same thing happens with our faith, that we've seen other people have faith in God and pray to him and believe, and God answers their prayer, and we're like, wow, that works. So that bolsters my faith and confidence that God can do the same thing for me. So I'll in turn pray and ask God for help. And guess what? He does the same for me. And that continues to bolster my confidence. Then that might encourage and bolster someone else's confidence in something they don't see, but they see the effects of it. Okay? Isn't this wonderful how the plan of salvation works? So I want to continue reading here. We'll come back to some of these points. But in chapter 5, verse 1. We actually just sang a song about this early in the service. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How do we know that? Well, the scripture says, it is impossible to please, or without faith, it is impossible to please God. And later on this chapter, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay? So Apostle Paul is saying here, I've not been to heaven, but there's something there that connects me to heaven, and it is God and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit witnessing to me that these things are true. And I've seen the saints that have died that were faithful to the Lord, i.e. Stephen, when he was stoned. Saul, which became Apostle Paul later, he was standing there and witnessed what Stephen went through. And he knew that was a different man. There was an unusual, unseen power on hand there. And it was the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit that was witnessing to Saul at that time. And he never forgot that. And I'm confident that on the road to Damascus, God probably brought that image back to his mind again about what he witnessed there with Stephen when he was stoned. So what was happening was, there was this unseen power, this force that God was using to speak to Saul at the time, to witness to him, to convict him, to challenge him. And he accepted that, all right? And God changed his life. So then from that day forward, then Apostle Paul could go about and say, you know what? I've experienced something that's, how do I say this? Supernatural? He's like, I remember who I used to be, and now I know who I am today. So when God says that I have a heavenly home prepared for you, I believe that. Because all these other things God has done, they prove to be true, and it works. And he's saying, well, then, of course I believe that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Of course I believe that. But yet, it's something we don't see on this side of eternity. We don't see heaven. We don't see hell, do we? It's something unseen, but yet we've had multitudes of witnesses that have gone on before and said, folks, it is true. And there's some that maybe have caught some glimpses of it. They can't describe it. They can't explain it. Even Apostle Paul maybe saw it. John the Revelator and different ones that, and others that we've heard of maybe in recent decades that maybe have caught some glimpses of heaven. And they come back and tell us about it. It's like, I can't explain it, but it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I want to go there. Folks, yes, I want to go there too. Because to think that we're dealing with something that we've not experienced yet before. And we've experienced God's love and His mercy to this point in the physical sense on this earth. It's wonderful, all right? He delivers us. He keeps us. He gives us the peace which passeth understanding. And all these things God does for us, it's like, Lord, you said you have something else even greater prepared for us, a heaven where we don't have to deal with all these physical things. Sign me up. Yes. Well, how do we get signed up? By the blood of Jesus, asking His forgiveness, repenting, turning from our sins, turning from the evil one, the unseen influences of the evil one that has damaged our whole world for centuries. And God's saying, think about this, folks. You know, God sent His only begotten Son, all right, to demonstrate His love for us. Then He sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to go with us after Jesus left and ascended back into heaven. And so He's saying, I've given you my best. I've given you everything I can to help you make it to heaven, to help you make it to my eternal abode, God is saying. And that's what Apostle Paul is saying here. He's like, these things are just temporary, but I know there's something greater prepared for me, all right? So thank the Lord for that. So now I want to apply this again to us today. You know, we haven't experienced the things Apostle Paul did. At least for myself, I have. I'll just speak for myself. I've not been imprisoned. I've not been beaten. I've not been stoned and all these other things. But, you know, as any Christian would encounter, there is some type of persecution. Sometimes it's more maybe a mental or emotional or maybe whatever it is that... There's different means that that Satan is pursuing you. That's what persecution means, is he's pursuing us to destroy us. And it can happen a variety of ways. But I'm just saying, if we could just all, I think we would agree to this, that we've all suffered to some extent or another of being a child of God. But the question is, has it been too much? And we say, you know what? I can only handle about this much more, and then I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel. Apostle Paul said, we faint not. He's like, no. I've been through all these things, but he's like, these things are just temporal. It's going to pass away, just like this body's going to pass away. But there's something eternal, something further yet unseen. I've not seen it yet, but I know it's there, all right? By confirmation of other witnesses and the Holy Spirit, all right? And so to think of it this way, we've all experienced some great difficulties in life. Maybe not to the extent Apostle Paul did, but yet... What did he say? For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, even just getting older, sometimes our outward man starts decaying a little bit. Younger children, you don't understand that yet. You're still growing, all right? But as you get older, there's just something about it that, for instance, my eyesight. You know, I just got these glasses last year and the prescription on them, and this year again, it's like, I got to have something done. I'm having some difficulty seeing some things. But the physical body, it falls apart after a while. But you know what? I'm not focused on this. There's something greater, something far more important to be focused on. And that's my eternal soul. That's my eternal destination. I'm either going to live forever in heaven or die forever in hell. So if you understand the point here. So it's like, you know what? Lord, I want my calling and election, sure. I want your heavenly reward that you've prepared for those that are faithful to you. And so to think of it this way, as I read you the scripture earlier, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, it does take faith to continue living for the Lord. Even the mornings or the evenings or the afternoons, whatever time of day it is, the middle of the night, even the times that you don't feel like it. I want to emphasize feel, because folks, that's part of an emotion. That's something physical, all right? But when we get a hold of something like Apostle Paul did, where he was renewed day by day, folks, that's an unseen power. That's something that God has available to all of us. The key is that we plug into it, all right? It's there. The faith and confidence, we've seen other folks have gone through so much more than what we have, and they made it. They had a clear testimony. You go to their funerals, and it's like, wow, their whole life preached a message about God's power and God's forgiveness and all those things. You're like, and it's challenging. You leave those funerals like, oh, Lord, help me. I want to be faithful too. All right? So I want to touch just briefly. I want to turn to Ephesians 6 and 12 and talk about this unseen power. This is a familiar scripture. Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So I want to just stop right there. These are unseen things, but they have tremendous effects, detrimental effects, destructive effects, right? And we see them all around us today, okay? "If we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Folks, it's out there. And yes, I'm going to say it this way. It's in the radio waves. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not like preaching against things this morning. I'm just talking about the spirit of the devil, of wickedness. It's out there and it can come in so many different forms. All right? I don't have to name him out. You know, it can even be, the devil can try to use our minds as a tool against us as well. But like Apostle Paul said, he can renew our mind as well to flush out the stuff that Satan tries to bring to us. Say, no, I'm going to think on these things, Philippians 4 and 8. I'm going to focus on these things that are healthy and wholesome and help me live a prosperous, constructive life that can be a testimony of God's power. That's what it's about. But again, we have some unseen powers working against us, okay? But let's not stop there. You know, there's another unseen power and force that we can use. And we're going to read about it here later on this chapter. And it is the power of prayer. You know, when we pray, we don't visibly see our words going up to heaven and God, you know, reeling in those words and those prayers. We don't physically see that. It's something that unseen. It's not visible. How many times have you been in a situation, whether you're on the job or you're at home or you're driving down the road or you're in the store, wherever you're at, and you're praying and nobody else knows about it? It's unseen, but God sees it, all right? And no one sees the prayers, but they start seeing the effects of the prayers. You ever been in a very sticky situation? Especially like a confrontation or someone, whatever, with someone else, a relationship issue, and you're praying like, Lord, I don't know what to say. What do I do? And then maybe someone's observing that situation, and you're praying, and maybe that other loved one, that other friend, they're praying for you too. And then the Lord helps you work through that. And then later it's like, wow, the Lord blessed in that. I saw the effects of the prayer. I didn't see the prayers going, but I saw the effects of it. And it works, folks. We experience those things. It's like, oh, Lord, thank you. I want to experience that again. So I'm going to pray again. And no one can stop me from that. I want to read the scripture that talks about that. It talks about the weapons, the whole armor of God. And it goes on down to verse 18. Again, Ephesians 6 and 18, it says, praying always with all prayer. That's what I want to talk about just briefly here. All prayer. We don't see the physical words shaped and the prayers ascending, but God sees them. God hears them, all right? And he understands. And I want to read, speaking of that, I want to read another scripture here in Romans, the 8th chapter, just to bring out this other point. Apostle Paul wrote this as well. In Romans 8 and 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Oh, thank the Lord. Folks, there's times when I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do. I can't put it into words. But thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit understands our frailty, understands who we are, and makes intercession for us. And it's through Jesus. He's on the right hand of the throne of God. And he's interceding. And who was the one that was standing up when Stephen was being stoned? It was Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. He was standing at attention saying, Father, that's your child. Stephen needs some help. He's praying. He doesn't know how to pray necessarily, but he's praying. And thank the Lord. He's making intercession for us. And folks, that brings us to the point where sometimes in life, we really don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We can't form the words. But thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit that can do that for us. He understands exactly where we're at, what we're facing, the sticky situation we're in, or whatever rut we're in, or whatever negative habit or pattern we're in, or whatever we're dealing with, relationship issues, financial issues, physical issues, fill in the blank. Apostle Paul named out several, and there was many more he didn't list. He was experiencing a lot of those things, but he fainted not because he kept praying with all prayer. Again, it's an unseen thing that the rest of the world, they don't really understand it unless they've tasted of that themselves. But those of us that have tasted it, folks, when we experience that, our faith and confidence is bolstered that every time I plug in again to God with all prayer saying, Lord, I need to connect with you. I need something from you right now. I don't know what to ask for or how to ask it, but Lord, all I know is I need you. Thank the Lord. And he hears that prayer. So we think about this morning. You know, there's another scripture. I think it was on down. Yes, verse 31, Romans 8 and 31. I want to read this verse. I want to emphasize again, sometimes it feels like the powers against us are greater than the powers that are for us. But is that true? Like I said, it feels like at that time. You know, I want to just give you a little example. I'm just going to be vulnerable this morning. I'm not going to go into great detail, but I experienced something this morning that I heard that it troubled me. I'll just be honest with you. It kind of made me tremble within. I'm like, I can't do anything about this. But you know what? Later, I got to thinking about it and prayed about it. I'm like, yes, there is something I can do about it. I can give it to the Lord. And I'll just be honest, it wasn't too long after that, I read this scripture, folks. And it's here in Romans 8 and 31. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Folks, that's powerful. Satan's going to throw all kinds of things at us to make us feel like we're outnumbered, we're unloved, no one cares about us, no one sees us, no one understands us, and you're going to fail, and you're never going to make it to heaven, and you're going to be a disgrace, and all these things. But wait. No. There's an unseen power. There's something that's been around since the beginning of the time called God's love, God's power, God's forgiveness, God's enable, all these things that God has there, and it's available to all of us if we plug into it with all prayer, okay? That's the key. And that's what I'm confident that Apostle Paul got a hold of. There was no way he could sustain through all those things unless he kept plugging into God with all prayer. An unseen power that those around us, the very ones that were persecuting him, didn't see those words ascending to heaven where the intercessor, the Holy Spirit, was interceding for him. But Apostle Paul felt it. He felt that peace and that forgiveness, forgiving those that were wronging him, doing him wrong. He was forgiving them, and they were witnessing that as well. They're like, wow, this guy, you know, there's something about him. You can start seeing the effects at that unseen power of God working in Apostle Paul's life. Folks, we can have the same testimony today. But it's going to be up to us. Do we choose to use all prayer when things trouble us, when things consume us, when we feel like we're overwhelmed and we don't know what to say or do? Folks, you don't have to get the words just right. You can just start, all you have to say is, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And maybe later he'll give you some more, but that just start with that. It's very basic, very simple. A child gets a hold of that. I've been inspired many times by the faith of a child. One time, a sister shared a while back where she lost a little kitten. And she prayed that that little kitten would come back. And guess what? It came back. And she acknowledged that. She realized that. Oh, folks, we can have the same. Bring, it may seem trivial. Or it may be a huge thing. Or it may be something we can't even put our finger on because we're not sure what it is. But it's negatively affecting me. And I don't know what to do with it. Folks, use all prayer. The unseen power, connecting with God. And he can work those things, as the scripture says in Romans 8:28, together for our good. That in the end, we can be made a shining example of God's power. And ultimately, he's made us ready to enter into his heavenly abode, eternal home forever. Folks, that's a wonderful thing to strive for, isn't it? And along the way, we get to enjoy the company with others that have like-minded desires to live for the Lord, to use all prayer, all these unseen powers of God that are at our disposal. If we just take advantage of them, they'll get us to glory. You pray for me, I'll be faithful to him.